Hey guys, it's Sean here again. I'm here to tell you guys about a podcast that I do with my buddy Aaron. He's the host, and I'm his co-host. I'm his Robin to his Batman, I guess, except I look way better in tights. But go ahead and listen to our new podcast, Our Corner. We talk about a bunch of different subjects affecting all types of like walks of life regarding social media, regarding pop culture, and everything in between. We might even sneak in a few countdowns in there. I don't know. You'll have to tune in.
Warning, the following podcast contains vulgar and offensive language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Fight Night, guys. I do appreciate you guys for joining me here. We're actually going to do just a kind of a brief episode. It's not going to be too long. I just kind of wanted to go over a few things that have been going on, things that have been kind of circulating. Not too much of the drama just from the fight. I didn't get a chance to report on UFC 299, although I kind of wanted to. We just had other things going on, working on the new studio, working on the new stuff like that. Just a few other things that are going on that we have built into the projects for Torn Reels and Our Corner and even Rolling for Glory. So we're going to go ahead and keep moving with that. And if I'm able to get a few updates here and there, we should be good. If not, at least I'll be reporting for sure for UFC 300. And I'm going to do my best to keep you guys in the loop and keep reporting on this as often as I can. Real quick, I did want to go into the fact that we had Gamebred Bare Knuckle MMA, where we had Junior Dos Santos win the heavyweight champion, the championship, and dude, his nose turned into a fucking L. He got hit so hard, it caved in. It was so bad, it hurt so, just fucking watching it. But it's good to see that Junior Dos Santos is actually still in it. He still has a bit of dangerous hits. I know that there's all the people who are talking about him you know, juicing and all that stuff because of the regulations. Yeah, that's probably what's happening. But you know what? Let him make his money. I don't mind it too much. I'm all right with that. We also had more recently Sean O'Malley beat Chito Vera in UFC 299. Now we're going into those guys. We had Sean O'Malley beat him, and he just punished him for fucking five rounds. It was horrible. It was a decision. Like, literally going into the fifth round, I did not have one round for Chito. Not one round at all. And some people didn't see it that way. Yeah, you know what? Well, there's wrong opinion, and then there's even more wrong opinion, and that's where you guys are at. I kind of figured that Sean O'Malley was going to put away Chito. I kind of guaranteed on it, but he didn't. He ended up going for the decision, but I thought if Chito was going to get his first real knockout was going to be, or stopped, was going to be against O'Malley. I was approached with this question a few days ago of whether Chito Vera lost any type of like stock in his fight or in his fighting as a career. I don't think so personally. Being able to see Chito take some of that punishment that O'Malley gave him, he fractured his skull, fractured the orbital, fractured all that shit. Just being able to take it, even though you got pretty much a baseball bat to the face, I don't think that takes away his stock. I think that shows durability of Chito and the fact that he's still dangerous. He had some good shots. He had some good ranges, but just O'Malley pieced him up. But he took all the hits. Most miraculous chin. He did great overall. He did look really beat up, though, at the end. Like, it was horrible. I felt really bad for the guy. I don't think they should have stopped it. I think he was fine to keep going. But it was for a bit of a question towards the end. It looks like towards the end of the fight, round five, He hit Sean O'Malley with a pretty good body shot, and it kind of looked like it folded O'Malley a little bit. I don't know. I don't like to spread rumors, but that's what it looked like to me at least. But I'd be really surprised to see where it goes. Now there's people that are saying that O'Malley needs to fight Merab. I agree. I definitely agree with that. I think that Merab has done his waiting. I think Merab has done his due diligence, and I think it's time for him to be part of the talks of the title. And I think Sean O'Malley, not that he has anything to prove to anybody. I don't think he has anything to prove, really. But I think that it's a good opportunity for O'Malley to grow and really conquer. Someone's going to put up a good challenge for him. I know he called out Aliyah Topuria. While I'm okay with him fighting Topuria, I don't really think it's something that we need to see right now. I'd rather see Merab and kind of have a bit of a closure with that, see if Merab really can live up to the hype, or to see if Sean O'Malley can really beat that extra hard competitor when it comes to the championship. Now, Topuria is about a weight class above O'Malley. We've seen this before with Israel Adesanya and everything like that, and it doesn't always end well. But at least it won't, you know, he won't lose too much stock if he beats or if he loses to Topuria. I think that if anything, it'll show O'Malley's durability, flexibility in both weight classes. But always, he'll be able to come back and he'll still be champion. So there's no stock to really lose. It's kind of just see if you can. Now, here's the thing. If he does well and he stays there, we have a whole other different fucking problem. So I wanted to touch a little bit on UFC 300. I'm going to touch up a little bit, not too much, just because it seems so far away, but yet so close. We have a few fight nights in between. I'll probably be reporting on a few of them just because they kind of interest me. I guess last weekend we had Tai Tuivasa. He kind of he lost again. We're not really surprised. I would honestly be surprised. As much as I love Tai Tuivasa, I would honestly be surprised if UFC continues their contract with them. I know that a few fighters in the past 2 weeks have retired, and there's been a few lineup changes regarding the UFC. I know a few fighters have lost their contracts and everything. And you had the beginning of Michael Venom Page, which is a good start to the career, puts another good name in the roster. There's just a lot of movements going around, and then with Dana White meeting up with, you know, Ryzen and or not Ryzen. Is it Ryzen? Might have been Ryzen. It's Ryzen, I believe. And then Bare Knuckle and all those like places. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Maybe he finally saw the threat that is PFL and Bellator. I don't know about you guys, but they just had their Miami card. Not their Miami card. They had their French card. And that was the highest ranked and most viewed fucking card that they've ever had, and that the French ever had in that stadium. And that includes UFC. So I don't know. Maybe the conversion that PFL had to go to absorb Bellator's fighters and all that stuff, maybe it's going to work out well for them. He keeps talking shit to Dana White, and Dana White kind of just ignores him, but I guess we'll have to see what goes on with that. I'm really surprised that that Kayla was able to make it to 135. It looks like she looks good. She looks nice and fit, ready for the fight against Holly Holmes. Holly Holmes looks amazing as always. She posted a few pictures of her on St. Patrick's Day. She looks about pretty good in weight. I feel like they should be ready for 300. Looks like everyone's training hard. Conor released a statement. Conor McGregor released a statement, since we're kind of drifting here and there. Conor released a statement regarding the UFC, how they would push the date back and he would lose interest in the fight. After he was training for so long, he would lose interest, and then he would start drinking again and then gain weight and balloon. And then they would tell him, hey, here's another date for the fight. And he would lose interest again after they didn't fucking, you know, complete on that fight, or they had to extend it or whatever. So he just kind of got bored. I wonder if all that is actually true, or if it's just basically him talking shit. Now, I want to say it's him talking shit, but at the same time, Dana White kind of does that. He fucks around and he does only have two more fights left on his contract. So Dana White's probably trying to milk the shit out of those last 2 years. Especially since Conor McGregor's rich. He doesn't really need the need to fight. He doesn't really need the money. So I understand where Dana White's kind of hesitant to let him go, because if he wants to renew the fight and keep that train coming, he's going to have to bend to Conor McGregor's, you know, wants and needs more than he already has. And I don't think Dana White wants to do that. I think he's, even though he's been a great partner, as Dana White has reported and everything like that, I can't help but to think that maybe Conor McGregor takes a little bit more than Dana White is comfortable with. But we'll see. As of now, we're still waiting for Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor. I wanted to touch real quick on Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou. That fight happened not too long ago, and we had Francis Ngannou go up against Anthony Joshua, with which a lot of people were still on the hype train from the previous fight where he had it with Tyson Fury, and how they felt like, you know, either Tyson Fury didn't take it too seriously or Ngannou is just a supreme phenom. Like, I think it's a little bit of both. I think Tyson Fury didn't take that fight too seriously because that was the most out of shape that I've seen him in that whole fight. However, Ngannou did come with the fury. He looked nice and tight, well taken care of. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He had come in, and especially with Mike Tyson as his coach during some of the time, he came in with some good moves and was able to, you know, at least knock him down. Many would argue that he won the fight. I think he kind of did. But that's not up for me. That's up for the rematch that's hopefully coming. But we have to wait for Tyson Fury to get past Usyk, which he was ready to go, and he looked like in great shape, except the cut delayed. So we're going to have to see how long it's supposed to be until the cut is healed and he's fine. They're saying somewhere around July. I feel that's still a little too soon, and it's still too early to tell. But I guess we'll see what happens. But he looked great. I think he looked great. Usyk looks great too. Going back to Joshua and Ngannou, I think the reason that Joshua was able to completely annihilate Ngannou, for lack of a better word, because I'm sorry, Ngannou, there was no better word. The reason he was able to annihilate him was because of the fact that I think Anthony Joshua had the full 10 rounds of Ngannou already seen and kind of matched, and he was able to actually break it down and be able to be like, hey, this is what he does when he steps back. This is what he does when he steps forward. This is what he does when he moves aside and pivots and everything like that. And he had that. He had the cheat sheet, which is great. I mean, it's not really a cheat sheet. Every fighter does it. So I guess I kind of misspoke. But he had the tapes. So the cat's out of the bag. The secrets are done. As Brendan Schaub would say, the cat was out of the bag, like he put it. The secret's out. Everyone knows now how Ngannou fights. And Joshua came in prepared, came in looking good. I think now we're finally going to get the fights that we've wanted. After Usyk, I definitely see either Tyson Fury going back up against Ngannou, or Tyson Fury going over to Joshua, unifying the belt, and then going against Ngannou and kind of doing the whole rematch. Now, will any of that take place? We don't know. Only the boxing gods know. We've always wanted them to do Deontay Wilder and Joshua, or Deontay Wilder and, you know, or Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, and that was delayed for so long. There were so many other things that happened. Now we had Usyk, who, you know, was able to do this. Now who knows what's going to happen? I'm sorry, he's going to unify the belt with Usyk, not Joshua. So you can only see what happens. Now you have, on the other realm of boxing, you have Jake Paul, who has been calling out random fighters. He's been calling out Canelo. He's been calling out, you know, Mark Hunt, which Mark Hunt had that suspicious thing where someone approached him to throw a fight for $4 million. Now, I'm not saying it's Jake Paul. I'm not saying it's not Jake Paul. I'm just saying someone approached him and asked him to throw a fight for $4 million. I think personally, Dana's a little too greedy to offer $4 million for a thrown fight, especially with someone like Mark Hunt, who just tried to fucking sue him. I doubt it was him. The only fight that was announced shortly before he said the $4 million was Jake Paul and Mark Hunt. In case you guys don't all remember that, I remember it. I saved the poster. I was going to do a topic on it whenever it came to the fight with the poster in the background. So I saved the poster. but it never came up. If you want my opinion, I think that's honestly the fight that was offered to him to throw the fight. Now you have Mike Tyson and Jake Paul who are supposed to fight. Whether we see how that goes, who knows? It's a glorified exhibition, so we can't really take it too seriously. I saw these leaked rules that I found online, and my brother found them online too. And we were talking about them. I don't think they're legit rules, but either way, I'm going to mention some of these rules right now. I guess Jake Paul gets to have a headgear, and he's going to work with headgear in that fight. They also get to switch between both Paul brothers, which here's where I started getting a little weird about that. Then wouldn't Jake Paul and Logan Paul be showing up in training videos to try to, like, boost their clout? That would make sense to me. I don't know. I'm not the commissioner. I'm not anything like that. Whatever. I think if you're going to wear headgear against Mike Tyson, despite the fact that you probably shouldn't fight Mike Tyson to begin with, if you're going to actually fight Mike Tyson, have the balls to not fight Mike Tyson with headgear. Just actually go out there and have it headstrong, like head first. You go in to the fight as Mike Tyson would. Mike Tyson's an old man. He's 57, going 58. And you're still going to put on headgear? Sure, it is Mike Tyson. Totally get it. He's probably going to obliterate you, but still, be a man. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this. I can't remember which fight night it was. Did I mention this briefly? I think it was the one right before Lincoln, or if not, the one with Lincoln. That I mentioned briefly that Logan Paul and Jake Paul are kind of like, well, I mean, we all know them as trolls, but they're kind of trying to set this up in the long term regarding their careers for the money grab. We've all known that. That's not a surprise. But before I had made a prediction where the Paul brothers were going to eventually fight in a boxing match. I know that seems weird with WWE and then Jake Paul being all involved with Showtime and boxing and all that stuff. But hear me out. We've also seen on the Impulsive podcast and then on, I believe, on Jake's podcast as well, where the brothers have been fighting and been constantly at each other's head. Constantly at each other's throats, going back and forth about each other, about arguing who's a better athlete, you know, all that stuff. And we know we had that that fight with Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather. The way I see it, I think this is going to be a setup to where Jake gets beat, and he gets beat pretty bad by Mike Tyson, and Logan Paul is going to talk shit about Jake Paul, about how, oh, well, I was able to beat Floyd, the guy who I thought was the greatest, but the guy that you thought was the greatest, you weren't able to beat him. You weren't able to do any of that. I was able to do that. I'm the better athlete. And basically triggering Logan Paul and Jake Paul to fight. And one of them is going to lose, and then they're going to shit talk and do a second fight. I bet you this will even go up as far as three fights with Logan Paul and Jake Paul, just for money grab. And unfortunately, if that's how it goes, I don't want a part of this. I don't want to see the Jake Paul's fight. I don't want to see the Paul's fight. I'm okay with the Mike Tyson fight. I'll watch it. Obviously, I'm a degenerate. But in reality, I don't think I want to see the Paul's fight. And I don't think I want to see Jake Paul's career further past that. And maybe that's me. Whatever. I don't care. If I was famous, I know he'd probably tweet something right now. I don't care. I don't give a shit. I just don't think I'd see fucking... I just don't think I see Jake Paul's career progressing further than that. And I think that's where it's going to go, because they're going to get their money and they're going to pull out right before. Because what was it? Jake Paul was already complaining of it, saying that he supposedly had CTE symptoms and everything. It's like, bro, you don't just get that from one or two fucking, you know, boxing matches. You get that from years of punishment, all that stuff. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. I guess we're going to have to see where these fights take us, where they go. Like I said, I think it's going to end with that. I was really surprised, going back to UFC, I was really surprised that Israel Adesanya was not in UFC 300. However, I totally get that he stated that he was approached with the contract, but Dracus Duplessis wasn't 100% on that. I totally get why he wasn't 100%. He just fought Strickland. He's kind of the champion now. Everyone has that entitlement when they're champion that they feel like they can just blow everything off. I don't know. That's not me. I think in my personal opinion, Duplessis made a good move as a champion. Why would you go from, you know, getting pretty beat up, even though you won the fight, you got pretty beat up, to going against one of the guys who was literally argued as one of the best to ever do it? That seems kind of bad to me. Rest up, take a few fights off, take a, maybe another main event off, come back 302, 303, 301, even if you are really angsty. Go ahead and do what you got to do. I think that's definitely the route that he should take. I think that Israel Adesanya also should take a break, a longer break. I know he was going through whatever injury that he was saying, this mysterious injury that he had. I think he should take a longer time. We just saw Alex Volkanovski lose the title, do the same thing. Ring fatigue, I think it's a real thing. Most people think it's a real thing. You just get tired from being there. All the punishment that you get constantly, all the things that you constantly do. I mean, you just get sick and tired of it. And it basically just, I guess, kind of eats at you slowly and injures you further and puts you in a place where you can't really defend yourself. Now, imagine going after fight after fight after fight after fight after fight and beating some of the best to ever do it. Eventually, when you fatigue out, you're not going to be able to beat the best in the world. And that's where you start showing kinks, and that's where you start showing, like, or not kinks, chinks in the armor and everything like that. You start losing the chin. The fighters start aging just from that point. But I don't know. That's just me. I think I'm looking forward after the 300 just to see what fights are going to be regarding Strickland. I would love to see Strickland fight again. I would love to see where all this goes, but it really all relies on 300 because there's so many fights, so many title fights, so many other things that are going on that it's just like it kind of all rests in the balance of 300. But I don't know. Again, I watched 299. People were saying that it was super stacked. It was good. It was really good. I enjoyed that fight, and I enjoyed pretty much all of UFC 299. I'm hoping that UFC 300 will be just as good, if not better. Now, people have been going back, which one's better, which one's not going to be better. I think after 300, we'll be able to see which one's better and be able to judge it based on that. And remember, the UFC doesn't really, like, owe anybody anything. They're kind of on their track. They're on their train. You know, they're making a lot of money. They have negotiations coming up with Netflix just because WWE switched over to Netflix because they want to do live sports now. I know that they're probably going to be talking about that. There's been movement with the Fighters Association because of the contracts with Netflix. They're kind of wanting a piece of the cut. I agreed this would be a perfect time to do it, especially with the negotiations, because last time they did negotiations, fighters didn't really get anything. They got less sponsorships. They got, you know, weirder terms. I don't know. I would say they were weirder terms, but I would say if you're going to go ahead and form a fighters union or whatever, right now is probably a good time. Maybe not the way Jake Paul's trying to do it with the boxers, but at least try to get a fighters union in your own sense. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I think I ultimately think that that's probably what's going to end up happening, though, that UFC is probably going to end up following WWE and end up going directly to Netflix. So we'll be watching it on that platform now and buying the pay-per-view from that. And then, you know, with all the password sharing and everything like that, it's right up Dana's alley to kind of, you know, shut down these sites, shut down these streamers, and then shut down these guys who critique fights because they're like experts in it. Well, maybe not experts, but they're at least very knowledgeable in the fight game, and they do these, you know, elaborate videos and they get taken down. You guys remember when MMA World used to get taken down, or MMA Talk? They all used to get taken down. Everybody used to get taken down. Even Brendan Schaub had an issue with it where he would get taken down. There's a few other YouTube channels that I can mention that used to have a lot of issues with Dana White not wanting to share all that stuff and talking shit and everything like that. So it's good that it's moved on from there. But at the same time, for anybody really upcoming, you're going to have to face the wrath of Dana White where he's going to try to shut down your channel. It happens all the time. Same thing with the streamers. And he might say, oh, well, I don't give a fuck. I'm too busy for that. But you avidly go out of your way to shut down these streamers, to shut down these podcasters, these YouTube video guys. So it is what it is. And not to be a dick, like, I'm not really complaining about the fights on UFC. I'm complaining about the quality of video that we get from the streaming that we get from ESPN. So when we do buy the fights, there's always glitches. We always lose connectivity. There's always issues with something. So it's like, why would you spend that money if you're going to get a shitty product? Like, you know what I mean? And at the same time, he blames why there's a bunch of streamers. Well, that's why. Maybe it changes with Netflix. Maybe it changes with Netflix, and maybe Netflix will be like, hey, you can only charge like $60. And maybe we can get back down to a good price and be able to do that. Do I think so? I doubt it. UFC is kind of greedy. But I don't know. We'll have to see what these negotiations go. Like I told you guys, it was going to be a short one. I think that's going to wrap it up with Torn Reels. Oh, my God. With Fight Night. Huh. I've done so many that I can't even remember which one I'm on. That's going to do it for Fight Night. So I do appreciate your guys' time being here. And we'll catch you guys next time. Later.